Concern is obviously on high, understandably so, especially on Capitol Hill following the killing of Charlie Kirk. It is the latest political attack in America in just the last year. As you know, there were also two assassination attempts of President Trump. But we've also seen the egregious murder of Democratic State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband. And we also saw the governor in Pennsylvania and the governor's mansion that was almost burned to the ground during a Jewish holiday. So we're seeing the attack happen, certainly to political leaders on both sides of the aisle. And we have Congressman Jim Himes here to talk about certainly what can we do as far as security is concerned. I mean, it just seems like we can't just obviously protect lawmakers. It feels like free speech is certainly on the line for a lot of people. And so, Congressman Himes, I appreciate you being here. First and foremost, you have been serving in Washington, D.C. for quite some time. How are you sort of feeling? You know, when you think about when you first entered office to where we are today, it's very different, I would think.
Yeah, it certainly is, Melissa. You know, I reflect on this a lot because I went to Washington in January of 2009 when Barack Obama had just been elected. And I'll never forget that 2 months. And it was about 2 months in which the country stood back and said, you know, holy smokes, you know, this country with its, you know, history of Jim Crow, et cetera, just elected a black man president. And I will tell you, since it was kind of my first couple of months there, that regardless of where you were on the political spectrum, there was just this feeling of, wow, look what America did here. What a redemption. And now, of course, we're kind of in the opposite of that, where the political rhetoric is, and by the way, I should say that didn't last all that long. And we, you know, we got back to what the government is supposed to be, which is, two parties which debate each other, hopefully civilly. Now we're not there, obviously. Now we're in a world where, people are comfortable with absolutely apocalyptic rhetoric, which I think is probably unhelpful at best and dangerous at worst, where an awful lot of my colleagues, you know, social media was, I won't say in its infancy, but social media wasn't nearly the
thing. I talked about that, Congressman Himes, not to cut you off, but I remember when Barack Obama was elected president the first time around because I was a freshman in college and Facebook had only come out 2 years prior. So you're correct. I think. Yeah. So continue. Sorry, but you're right.
And so now, I mean, I've got colleagues, for example, and this is true of everybody. I've got colleagues in the Congress today who, you know, rather than reflecting on what leadership requires in a moment of the savage murder of Charlie Kirk. And by the way, let's also acknowledge, Melissa, this is really important because one of the attributes of leadership is taking a deep breath and not making assumptions. We have no idea what the motive of Charlie Kirk's killer was. We have no idea if that individual was left or right or transgender or not transgender. And one of the attributes of leadership and one of the really important things, if we're not going to devolve into additional violence, is for leaders and others to just take a deep breath and say, let's get the facts before we start analyzing what has happened. I've got colleagues today, and this was not true in 2009, who are in Washington for the sole purpose of stirring up anger and rage and emotions via social media. We saw this on the floor the day that Charlie Kirk was killed. Just instead of everybody being somber and reflective on the floor, it was a horrible moment. Democrats, a small minority of Democrats and Republicans were yelling each other and accusing each other of this and that. And what about January 6th? Melissa, I'm here to tell you, and I will lose my seat over this, that leadership involves not stoking fires when somebody has been killed. Leadership involves saying, deep breath, violence is never acceptable. And certainly in the absence of facts, we don't start pointing the fingers at who may or may not, or what party may or may not have been responsible about this. And I say this with some passion, Melissa, because the country is devolving into a country that is accepting of political violence, or at least where there's too much political violence, and is too accepting of purported political leaders who, in fact, are just conflict merchants. And part of the passion I feel about this is that, yeah, I feel it. You know, I wonder whether there's not, I've got 750,000 constituents, right? I wonder if there's not one of them who's going to decide that I'm a threat to the union and a traitor and is going to show up at my house the way somebody did on Thanksgiving of last year and put a bomb threat in my mailbox. And that's just, You know, that's just not the country we want to be.
No, and I think to your point as well, Congressman Himes, that we also are living in a time where you have very influential people on social media. And I think that's a real problem. You know, going back to social media, it's awful. I mean, I see it on, again, but like I said, I'm seeing it certainly when you see people celebrating on social media the death of Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's crazy. I also, though, I did see very similarly, I can vividly remember when the governor's mansion was almost burned to the ground after having a celebration of a Jewish holiday, people celebrating on social media. So I've seen it on both sides. I want to make that super clear, because when you do see, you know, I do feel that Charlie Kirk's has been very egregious. I'm actually shocked that there are teachers, for example, posting on their social media that they're happy about this. I mean, it's wild to me that we can ever feel like it is justified that anyone is killed, whether you agree with the person or you don't. I will never understand that. I will never understand any of that. And I think social media plays a huge part of that. But my question, I think, here is, what do you do? I mean, and I don't know if you could really answer that, but I think, what do you do? I mean, sure, I guess we could have more security on open campuses. Sure, I guess we could have more security following around lawmakers. But to your point, what about your house? What are you going to have people outside your house? Of course you're not. And where do we have the money to then have security everywhere? And what about the people who don't have clout like yourself? You know, the Charlie Kirk wasn't a politician. He was a very public figure and he was a political activist, but he wasn't a politician. So it's almost like, to what end, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, we're having a conversation about additional security, and over time they've given us a little bit more money for a little additional security. But you're 100% right. Look, we watched a shooter almost kill the campaigning now president of the United States in Pennsylvania, right? The president has extraordinarily elaborate, sophisticated, and expensive security. So, you know, maybe we need to have that conversation, but that is not the real conversation. The conversation gets back to what you said before. Anyone who is celebrating the death of another human being, of a father, Charlie Kirk, let's just take this example, but you listed others, you know, of a couple, the former Speaker of the House. And by the way, I'm so hesitant to get into this conversation and say both sides of the aisle. That's almost irrelevant. I'm sad. I'm very sad that the President of the United States called out radical leftists, right? It wasn't radical. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far down that path because that's an unproductive path. This is not a problem that is left or right. This is a problem of a society where, as you point out, I didn't see the teachers, but some people celebrate violence. And I take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, and the First Amendment says that the government will not mess with people's right to express themselves, and I believe that 1,000%. But people who celebrate violence online in our country, which was established to have a democratic debate to resolve these issues, I hope that they're shunned by their friends. I hope that they are spoken to by their priests or their rabbis or their ministers. I hope that their families say to them, I saw what you put on TikTok or Facebook, and it's not acceptable. In this family, we do not celebrate violence, because the government of the United States is not going to get into the business of doing that. But our society must. Mm. And, you know, for elected officials, I said what I did about the president because he called out the left. For elected officials, American constituents need to get into the business of saying, yes, I'm a Democrat, but I am not voting for a Democrat who celebrates violence, because that's more important than what that Democrat feels about food stamps or about tax policy. If you're a congressman or a senator or a governor and you're celebrating or somehow stoking the fires of violence in this moment in time, you don't deserve to be anywhere near an office of responsibility. That's the way this gets fixed. Frankly, I can't tell you how we move our society in that direction, but no amount of security money is going to do what that would do to tone down the violence in our country.
Yeah. And again, I really do think, to your point, it was really alarming to me here in Connecticut that if you look at just social media, it was shocking how many people, to your point, with, I'm just talking about Charlie Kirk. With Charlie Kirk, it was amazing how everybody, if you looked on social media, of course, blamed the left. And until we have all the facts, certainly, it's so easy, I think, for people to say, I think it's easy to say that this was politically charged. We just don't know what the motive was behind this. We don't know any of that yet. So to your point, we need to find that all out. And to call out a party or to call out people's political views is really just stoking, as you said, a huge fire. What I found really shocking, though, was when I'm having conversations with people and they sort of blatantly will say, well, I can't believe no one in Connecticut, being such a Democratic state, no one spoke out. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Our governor immediately spoke out. Our lieutenant governor, our attorney general, our Senate Democrats.
They all members of Congress.
They all. What are you talking
about? Senator Blumenthal in Connecticut spoke out.
So you see my point. So my point being also that I think social media is a huge proponent in this, in stoking what, to me, as I agree with you, I think it's a minority of extremists. And again, I do say that it's on both sides. And the reason I say that is because if you go to social media, there are some extreme accounts. I don't know who they are, but there are extremists who are, again, leaning right, leaning left. But when you look at the overall, there were no Senate Republicans in Connecticut, for example, when the murder of Melissa Hortman happened, and her immediately, one of the first press releases I saw came from our Senate Republicans here in Connecticut. I mean, so that's not even the narrative that I think is always true, what you see online. And that's my concern, is that we even don't even have the narrative correct, that it's the majority of Republicans, the majority of Democrats. That's not even what is true.
Yeah.
That's alarming to me.
You know what I'll tell you, Melissa, because it's really important to my own psychological well-being to remember this, which is that you're right in everything you're saying. But we are talking, thank God, when you talk about somebody who, you know, ignores the fact that you know, after Charlie Kirk was killed, every single senior Democrat in the state, you know, condemned it. We're talking about a minority of people here, right? We're talking
Correct.
About people who are too online, who are spending their time intravenously injecting the most extreme political stuff, and who, even though they know that in their hearts that Ned Lamont is a decent man, and by the way, you may disagree with everything he believes, but he's a decent man, or John Larson or Marty Looney, they think that they're so warped that they think that person is evil. The good news is that's really a small percentage of people. And I spend my days talking to my constituents, and, you know, this summer I traveled out west to Idaho, probably the most Republican state on the planet. And you know what? When you sit in diners, when you talk to people in grocery stores, we're talking about a tiny minority of warped human beings here. The vast majority of people in the state of Connecticut, the vast majority of Americans are not in that category. They're decent people. The sad thing is, I mean, again, we keep coming back to social media because I think you're absolutely right to point that out. That really fires up a pretty twisted minority, and a minority of that minority is going to consider picking up a gun
there
or putting a bomb threat
That's
in somebody's
the
mailbox.
That's the problem. When you talk about, even if it's a small minority of warped minds, we're now seeing that warped minds have no issue shooting somebody on a college campus, or going into somebody's home and murdering her and her husband, or burning down a mansion, or trying to assassinate a president. That's not okay. That's a problem.
Yeah, you know, if we had more time to talk about it, it's outside of the political realm, too. You know, the day Charlie Kirk was murdered, there was also yet another school shooting in Colorado that resulted in a couple of fatalities. And I don't want to go down the path of a gun conversation because, again, I think this is a moment for us to be super clear that violence and the mind of the individual that thinks that violence is okay needs to be changed. But we do have a violence problem in this country. You know, France and Japan and Korea and Germany, you know, none of them have 50,000 deaths a year associated with violence, and gun violence in particular. And again, I'm not going to start a conversation now about gun safety. What I do want to make the point is that two people were killed in a school in Colorado. We have a violence problem that isn't just limited to the political realm.
Right. No, we certainly have a real issue. And I think that, to your point, Congressman Himes, I think there's a lot with that. And I've unpacked this on my show many times, myself included, I call myself a child of God. I do have religion kind of as my focus in life and how I lead my life. And to me, I think there are a lot of aspects that we are missing. The fact that there are people who celebrate and are okay with the death of somebody just because they don't agree with him, that to me is a morality compass problem. And when we talk about there being so much violence, sure, to your point, guns are something that have to continue being discussed. When you talk about somebody being knifed on a train for no reason, got to talk about the violence in America. We got to, we do certainly, but we also are really missing, I think, some very basic values that I don't know how we correct that. For example, just a moral compass. If we have to sit here and we have to explain to people, hey, someone died, you should feel bad in this moment. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
You know, you see it even in some soft terminology. I was watching a lot of social media, and I think you and I are agreeing that somebody's political beliefs are completely irrelevant to the dignity and the sacredness of them as a human being. And I saw too many people who thought they were sort of being clever say, even though I disagreed with Charlie Kirk, I'm appalled by his killing. The first part points in a really terrible direction. It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with somebody.
It
doesn't matter what somebody's political opinions are. That is completely irrelevant to, you know, whether it is good or bad that individual was killed. In fact, let me take this a step further. Why are we a great country, right? What's on our money? E pluribus unum, out of many, one, right? We celebrate the fact that we have lots of different ways of thinking about stuff. And so to say that somehow, well, maybe it's not quite as bad if a guy with radical opinions is killed than if somebody with moderate opinions. It's just, it's not relevant.
No, it's not. It's not. Exactly. I think you now have parents, you're a parent, you now have people saying, well, I don't know what to suggest my kids do. Do they speak out and have free speech or would I rather know that my kid comes home? And you've got parents now in America who are debating this. Do I keep teaching my child to stick up for what they believe in with their words, not their fists, but with their words? Do you have that conversation, or do you just say, hey, you know what? If you don't hear something you like, you put your head down and you tell me when you get home at night, or you scream it into your pillow. That's not right either. That's not right either. That's not the country we are living in. That's wild.
Absolutely.
So, Congressman Himes, I so appreciate you giving us the time and having this conversation so candidly, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Melissa. Take care.